Yeah, I'm Paul Martin. That's it. Right, moving on. I'll go to Liberty Location 1. Then that's in RD Street. And what we're doing this time in the 7 minutes, it's not actually putting a teaching or so together. What it is it's just how to communicate. So, and this is the thing that we're doing in location one for every location to come, for preachers and teachers and communicators to get a chance to bring what God has for them and how they can communicate. So what I felt, it's on God's radical favour. And what I felt to share was around my niece. Her name is Casey, and she has ATRT cancer. And I'm just going to read out a scripture. I was just looking at the names here and different things when we were going through worship. And one scripture there stuck out to me. It's by Greg, and I think it's Deirdre, right? And I'm just going to read the scripture out because it's in Isaiah 64, and it says, "Oh, that you would render the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes the water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence." And that's what God has done. And that's what God continues to do. He comes down and meets us. He comes down and enters into our lives. Anyway, I'll go off preaching. This is what I'm going to share about. I'm going to share about Casey. And it's just a story that it's about Casey's life, and she's my niece. Casey, who is a happy 2.5-year-old girl. Casey was born on the 31st of December 2010. Like any other baby, she was a chubby. She even has the Noel pose. You see the way Noel poses? She was a chubby little one. She was really chubby, actually. When we seen her first, she's like a little Mrs. Blobby or something. Anyway, she was just 10 months old when she fell ill with a vomiting bug. She was admitted to Our Lady's Hospital for 6 children. And after various tests on the 6th of November, we got the news that she had 8. I can't pronounce the actual medical term for this because it's just it's a mouth. Even if you knew Hebrew and Greek, you still wouldn't be able to pronounce it. But it's ATRT cancer. Casey was transferred, and like the family was devastated. Do you know what I mean? Like I have heard that the whole world kind of fell apart, you know, as it would. But God is good. Casey was transferred to Temple Street Hospital and an MRI scan, where we discovered that the tumour had travelled down her spine. Casey underwent extremely dangerous surgery, and some of the tumour was removed. But you couldn't remove all of it because it told if it was removed. You couldn't remove all of it because it would have left her blind and paralysed and all. So the boy, and this type of cancer as well affects 1 in every 1.1 million children. So it's pretty rare. And then at a meeting at Crumlin Hospital when they did the tests and stuff like that, they were given 2 options. One was to give her, palliative care. That means just giving her drugs so the pain wouldn't, you know what I mean, just giving her drugs until she died. And the other was to give her aggressive chemotherapy, which was only 10%. So that's what we went with as a family, and that's what our mother went with as a family. But in the meantime, they were doing research, and there was another little girl down in Cork, and she went to Boston, and she got treatment, and she was 6. She actually died this year. But if the family found out, and they went to Boston, they sent over all her stuff and all. So she's over in Boston now at the moment getting treatment. But why am I saying that? The reason being is like the family's hope is in that. Now my hope isn't in the hospitals and all that good, but my hope is in God. And now I'm just going to share a bit. Now nearly 2 years later, Casey is still smiling and in Boston and is continuing to get in treatment. And the cost of the treatment is mad. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's $350,000 a year, right? And this is going into the third year of our treatment. And what I have down here is, you know what I mean, with the help of family and friends and other people fundraising and God. See, without God, this is impossible. Because it can't. Physically, like, it just wouldn't be able to. Like, there was a person whose husband died. And I think, well, I don't know. Remember, he donated money to Casey. in Boston, like the woman's husband was in the hospital, he died or something, or someone died belonging to them. Now, not praising God because the man died, but he gave a lot of money into it. Do you know what I mean? So, right, my wife always corrects me, anyway. But anyway, someone gave money. Anyway, and the Boston police, praise God for police. Like God has opened up doors over Casey in the past 2 years. The favor, I believe that the favor of God is over Casey's life, and I believe that the favor of God is over their lives. Do you know what I mean? We as a family continue to pray for total healing. We continue because there's no hopeless case when you're in God. It's amazing to see how happy she was. And I remember one time in the hospital, I remember when she was here as well, I used to go down most days and pray with her and stuff like that. And then I just stopped. Not going down, but I just stopped. Like, I used to go down and just say, oh, Lord, because I know God can heal. One of his names, he can heal. And I don't know why God hasn't healed her yet. And I say yet because I continue to pray. But remember, I just playing with her and just, you know what I mean? Like, she was sick and, you know, at the start, you're all nervous whether to hold them and touch them because there's tubes everywhere and all. But after a while, you just get comfortable with it. It becomes normal. And then you see her, like, I remember one night she, like I stayed with her and she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and she wanted to play, which was great at 3 o'clock in the morning. But that's what I'd done. And it was a pleasure and a blessing. And why do I say that? What I believe is as Christians, the favour of God is over their life. So having that ability over their life, I can relate that into other people's lives. The favour of God, I believe also, is a lifestyle that we live out of. That when we walk in it and we like, no, God is with me. Like what that woman says about your bridesmaid. God is faithful. God will lift us out. God is able to give us the ability to cope with situations that we just can't do it. I can't cope with this on my own. I can't be a Christian on my own. It's God who gives me the ability. In my weakness, Paul says in the Bible, I am strong. And that's where I get my strength from. My strength comes from God. My hope is in him. And I know that all things can work for the good for those who love him. So what I want to say to you all is that God is good. Do you know what I mean? That we are a blessing unto others, that the favour of God is over our lives, that we have an open heaven over our lives, that when we walk into that, God meets us. God goes before us and lights up our path. And as we walk, the favour of God just, you know what I mean, just bursts out of us. Anyway, that's my 7 minutes.
Cool. You can only give Paul 7 minutes, otherwise he'll go on for a half an hour. No, I'm a joke. Good stuff, Paul. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to introduce our own Jason Rafferty, who's going to come and preach the word for us. So let's give him a round of applause.
Praise God. It's a privilege to preach to God's people. And so I'm just going to pray and submit this unto the Lord. And I just want to do something symbolically. It's something I've been thinking about and God has been speaking to me about myself in my own life. And I'm just going to take off my own shoes. I don't want to walk in my own shoes, you know. I want to walk in what God has for my life. And I think that's, you know, God's heart cry for each one of us. That we walk in his plan, in his purpose, in his destiny, in the call that he has for our lives. So, Father, I thank you for today, Lord. Father, I thank you for who you are, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your people, Lord God. Father, you're great people, Lord God. And Father, you are a great God, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, for hearts and minds, Father, to align with the will and purpose of God this day, Father. Lord, I pray for a turning, Lord. I pray for a correcting, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, for each one of us, Lord, including myself, Father, that we would align ourselves, Lord, 1,000,000%. Steadfast, Lord, unto you, O God. In Jesus' name. This morning's message is Disciples are favored radically. The title of this morning's message is Favored Radically. A lot of the time we think of being favored being all about us. We think about having a house, a car, a husband, a wife, a good job. This is all good and true. However, as disciples, we need to have heaven's view of favor. A disciple is a teacher. He can be a student, apprenticed. It's one that learns, one that is under submission to his master, one that's directed and guided and led by Jesus. The word disciple implies the acceptance in the mind, life, views, and practice of the teacher. In the New Testament, it means to those who accept the teachings of Jesus. There are many teachers in this world, but there's only one real master, and his name is Jesus. Disciples extend the kingdom of God. Nehemiah fits right into this bracket. Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to be going through different scriptures, so even afterwards, if anyone wants, you know, if I'm just running through different passages of the Bible, come up and you're more than welcome to have any of the scriptures. So Nehemiah chapter 1, just give you a bit of a background. During the time of Nehemiah, the nation of Israel had been in exile in Babylon, but were beginning to return to Jerusalem. Nehemiah was working as a cupbearer to the king of Persia when he heard that the people were returning. He found out that the city was in ruins. All the walls were broken down, the gates burned, the people were in great trouble and disgrace. This really troubled him. He wept, he turned to God, he prayed, he fasted for months for his people and his city. He was just like Jesus. Jesus wept, Jesus fasted, and Jesus prayed, and Jesus mourned for people. Nehemiah, as I said, was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. Nehemiah became sad in the king's presence one day, so the king asked him what was wrong. Nehemiah told him that his homeland had been destroyed by fire and was laying in ruins. Then the king asked him, which I think is amazing, "What do you want me to do?" It says that Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven before answering him. When Nehemiah prayed to God, what did he say and what did God say? I believe Nehemiah could hear the heartbeat of God for his people and for his city. It says in verse 5, "And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to this city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so I can rebuild it." Of all things he asked him, he could have asked for anything, but he asked to be sent. He asked to go to the city that was broken down, the walls broken down, the gates broken down, the people were in trouble, the people were in great disgrace. And just thought of that word disgrace. The people were broken, the people were crippled, lamed, probably deaf and blinded by life in the society that they were in. And we can see that today when we look around us. I was walking through town yesterday. I've seen gangs of drug addicts. I've seen homeless people on the corner. This can be the rich people. They can be blinded by riches. The homeless people, bent down, depressed, broken, shattered by life, without hope in a world. And that's where God comes into the picture. Nehemiah identified himself with the people by confessing his own sin, his family's sin, his people's sin, and the nation's sin. He was on the same page. He didn't think, "I'm righteous and they're sinners. I'm all together and they're not." He identified, he knew that he was as sinful as much as they were. And my first point today is to be favored radically is to be sent of God. Isaiah 6:8, we hear this quoted many times in the church. It says, "Then I heard the voice," and that's even the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah knew that to be sent of God was the highest honor, the highest call. As I was reading this scripture, I thought of when I was playing football. When I wanted to be picked on the team, I was a teenager, right through my teenage, my heart would cry out inside to the manager, waiting for my jersey, waiting for that jersey to get put on so I could go out and play football on the pitch. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we are ambassadors of Christ. It says in Philippians that we're citizens of heaven. The Bible says that, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all have an inheritance. Christ paid the price for each one of us, every single one of us. and he bought us through his own precious blood. We are his inheritance, but he's also given us an inheritance. And the Bible says, this really caught me this morning. I just got a revelation, I believe, from the Lord. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within us. And he says, let your kingdom come. So who does it come through? It comes through each one of us. We're the carriers of God's presence. We're the carriers of the glory of God, of the Spirit of God, of the presence of God in each one of us. The Bible says that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I just another thought was like, you know, we're the address of God here on earth. We are, each one of us. You know, if a postman posts a letter to an address, you know, it goes through the letterbox into that address, into that house. You know, and each one of us, God has many things he has deposited within us. But continuously, as we walk in his will and his purpose, the things of heaven are released in our lives. And we've people to meet along that journey, all along the journey. Each one of us. Many things to do for God. In Judges 7:22, it's the time of Gideon. He was going down to fight against the Midianites. And there was about 30 or 40,000 men. And the Lord told him, he says, there's too many of you. You'll boast about your own strength. That you went and took these. So the Lord started cutting them back. And he says, there was probably 20,000 men. He says, bring them up. He says, the ones that are all fearful, let them go back. And then he bring them, I'll read it from here, he bring them to the water. He says, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will shift them there for you. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who leap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. And it just hit me that, to kneel down. They kneeled down at the water. They kneeled down. I just in my own heart, it was like kneeling down to the purposes and will of God. Kneeling down to everything in your life before God and saying, here I am. 300 men leaped, as I said, with their hands to their mouths. There were 300. And the whole thing of the football, they were like a sub on a football pitch. He was like ready, jogging on the spot, waiting to be on the pitch, wanting to be on the pitch, alert, attentive. Pick me, pick me. In Exodus 3, Moses was sent of God. When the Lord saw, it's a time about around the burning bush. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him. From within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. And you know, you can always look at Moses felt inadequate. Moses felt inferior. Moses felt all these different things. But here Moses says, here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God, the awesomeness of God, the magnificence of God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of this land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, I'm not sure what it is, Jezebites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out, the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? And God said, I will be with you. Now let's read that. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and ask him, what is his name? Then what shall I tell him? God said to him, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Jesus was sent by the Father. And we know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we are sent by Jesus. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And you see again, you know, God's heart hasn't changed. It's what he said to Moses. Now Jesus is saying to each one of us, I am with you. What I call you to do, I am with you. You're not doing it, as Paul said, in your own strength. You're not doing it in your own abilities. You're doing it in the strength of God. Praise God. The second point is, to be favored radically is to build with God. Nehemiah fits right into this bracket again. Nehemiah also asked the king for letters that will provide him with safe travel and for timber to make beams for the gates. We see in the end of verse 8 in chapter 1, and because the gracious hand of God was upon him, the king granted these requests. Nehemiah was building the walls, building the gates, and God provided everybody to take part in this. Each person, each family, there was goldsmiths, there was blacksmiths, there was bakers, there was normal people, ordinary people just like us. Took part in the work of God. This work was done in 52 days, which was impossible to do on man's own strength. But because God's hand was on their lives and the anointing of God was upon them, the work was done. It says that when the work was done, it says the enemies of God would know that this work was done, and they all got afraid because the work was a supernatural work. It wasn't a natural work. It was supernatural because it was equipped and anointed by God. And just what stops us from doing the work of God sometimes? All of us, each one of us. Fear of man. To be honest, the group here this morning was a battle. I came up with my nerves. My stomach was all over the place coming up in the car. I just had to keep, I was like this, in the worship to God. I'm not doing it in my own ability. I'm not doing it in my own ability. One of the things I believe is a huge thing as well is finances and trusting God, as you said, Andy, in all areas of our lives. But I believe when we put the kingdom of God first, it's like it releases something. It releases an oil, an anointing oil that ripples out of you because you're pursuing the things of God, following the things of God. And he says, when you look after my kingdom, everything else will flow. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asked for wisdom and God gives him everything. He asked for wisdom in administering justice and discernment for judging what was right and wrong with his people. He was looking after the kingdom of God. Solomon was looking out to look after God's people. And God released everything upon him. He says, there's wisdom, there's discernment, and there's riches and there's honor. Because you've put my kingdom first. putting the kingdom of God first. Excuse me. 1 Kings 7 to 16. Elijah and the widow. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once down to Zarephath in the region of Sinion and say there, I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So we went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called her and says, bring me please a piece of bread. This is what the woman said, which, you know, I don't even know if we ever met her before. He says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I have a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. So she was in a hopeless place. She was in a place of despair. There was famine in the land. There was very little of anything. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. You know, God said to you, don't be afraid. Go home, do as you have said, but first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. See, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You know, and the word of God says that God meets all of our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Each one of us. And the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. I'm involved in the church, coming to Liberty Church. When it started out, it was Rialto Church, but over 11 years. And I've seen God providing for me over and over and over and over and over. From people coming up to me on the street, a man come up and the Lord told me to give you €100. People, when I was in Bible college, Christmas time, €400 in an envelope came to the college. Didn't know who it came from. I was in college 2 years ago. I owed £7,500 at the time in the credit union. The Lord was at the telling me to go to college. I get a phone call. I never even knew I was in a draw. You're at the winning £10,000. All my bills was cleared. And that's all. And I'm not saying I don't worry like the rest, like anyone else, or I don't struggle, or I don't have fear about this, that, and the other. But I know that God is always faithful. I was given 4 cars, one after another. You know, I feel like a spoiled child saying that, you know, or boasting about it, but I don't want to be, but what I'm saying is, that's what God has done. And I believe, I'm not saying I've struggled like any other person, but I try to keep going after the plan of God for my life. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew gave up everything. When he was at the tax baker's, or the tax, the boot, when Jesus called to him, said he left everything and went. Peter gave up everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. When Jesus called Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to be a fisher of man. Jesus is true to his word. Acts 2:41. You know, we can look at all the other things sometimes, and I think sometimes we can all do that. But it says in 2:40, those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. This is the word of the Lord being fulfilled in Peter's life. He was called to be a fisher of men, and there he is, walking in the prophecy of God. Jesus called him to be that, and then he was displaying that. The last point is, to be favored radically is to be filled with God. Filled with his plan, filled with the DNA of God, for his purpose, for his plan, to save hurting lost people with his love and his power. Isaiah 58 talks about true fasting. You know, we can do many things. We can do loads of good things, but we want to be doing God's things. It says here in verse 6, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. And the important part of that, I believe, it's all of it. But the important part of that is, I have chosen what God has chosen for each one of our lives. The plan he has, the destiny he has. Acts 16:6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perea and Galatia. This really spoke to me. Before, like, this is the first sermon I ever preached when I was in Bible college. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. This is Paul. When he came to the border of Messiah and he tried to enter. It says, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him to. So they passed through and went down to Taurus. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul and Barnabas, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel there. And there's a great example there, you know, of that it's the vision of God. You know, Paul was prevented from going to two different places. That the Spirit of God is leading and directing our lives. You know, we're not making our own plans. We're not building our own kingdom. But we're building what God is building. And we're walking in what God has for our lives. Jesus was always about his Father's business. And then he turns up in Luke 4, when he turns up in the synagogue and he reads out the scroll of Isaiah. I think it was nearly 700 years when that prophecy was spoken by Isaiah. Now it's been fulfilled 700 years later, probably to the day, to the second, that God had ordained it to be fulfilled. And Jesus reads out this. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And something really hit me, and that's what I feel the Lord wants to do today. The Lord wants to release an oil. You know, when an olive is squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, it releases more oil. But it says here, when Jesus was reading this thing, he says, the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me. And the Lord has anointed each one of us. There might be different roads on the journey that we're stepping up into something new, and the Lord will release an oil upon you for the work that you're called to do. Because when he sends you, and then you're building, he won't send you without giving you what you need in order to do what he's called you to do. I was thinking of that film. Remember, I used to watch it all the time, The Wizard of Oz. And they were following the Yellow Brick Road. They had to go somewhere. They had a destiny. They wanted to go somewhere. But they were all looking for something. The tin man, he said, oh, I only have a heart. The lion said, if I only have courage. I obviously say this word wrongly. I can't say scarecrow, right? Scarecrow. The scarecrow said, if I only have a brain. But even when you think about that, if I only have this, if I only have that, if I only have this. And the Lord said, I've given you everything for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. But that the Holy Spirit, that's deposited in each one of us. When we give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes in and he resides in you. Each one of us, excluding nobody. And then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe as well that the Lord wants to give out gifts today. Because he's a God that he gives out good gifts. He's a good father for each one of us. Because none of us are any different. He has no favorites. We're all his favorites. You know? Mark 16 verse 9, Jesus said, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And they will drink deadly poison and will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick. And they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And this is an important part here. And the Lord walked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them. I remember I came to the church first and eventually then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I start praying in tongues and then I start getting visions. And then the Lord started giving me words of knowledge. Now, I didn't know that for a long time and I'm still learning. Still, you know, we're always learning. Seeing people being healed. My own leg was healed at a meeting one time. Actually in King's Hospital, going back a few years ago, and the guy that was preaching, he said, he was nowhere near me, I was down the back of the meeting, and he said, someone's right knee is being healed. And I felt a heat coming over my leg, and my leg was totally restored. You know, we can forget these things. It's easy to forget things, you know, what God is that they're doing. If we can just prepare that song, Paulo. Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. It says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I believe that God wants to call things out of people today. You know, so I'd ask you to respond. Respond to God. Respond to him. Step out of where you are. You know, sometimes we can put ourselves in a mold. You know, we're molded in this. I'm molded. I can't move out of this. No, you can. Each one of us. Our past, senior pastor was speaking a while ago about lifting the lid. You know, I can only measure up to here. That the measuring stick is broken over each one of us. You know, that God is calling each one of us for the plan and the destiny that he has. That there's treasure in each one of us. Every single one of us. Excluding all. So I'd ask you to step out today. Step in, step out into what God has for you. Sometimes we don't even know what the vision is. Or what is a vision. I remember the Lord, I was about 2 years a Christian. And the Lord said, I'm the vision. Jesus is the vision. Jesus is the number one. Jesus is top of the list. He's the one we're going to. He's the one we're following. He's the one we're going after. It's his plan. It's his call. It's his destiny. It's him that has everything in store for us. It's him that provides for us. each one of us, excluding none. Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible also says that Jesus is making intercession for each one of us. It's like he's cheering us on. It's like he's saying, come on, get into that race, stay on track, come on, run with me, walk with me. Like that road, the yellow brick road, the road of God, the path of God. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. Each one of us. I'd ask everyone to stand. We love you, Lord. Father, we adore you, Lord. Lord, we lift your name up in this place, Lord Jesus. We lift your name up, oh God. And I'm not just saying this, we are blessed today. We have our senior leader here, Peter Fitzgerald. We have our pastor, Rob, and elder, Rob. We have Patrice, and we've many more mighty. We have Andy, we've mighty people of God. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I say come forth and let the leaders pray for you. If you're struggling with anything, come forward. If you want to ask for gifts of God, come forward. We love you, Lord.
Amen, O God. Amen. You know, God is in the Word today because God says, Lord, here I am, send me. And we talked about Nehemiah. And when you look at Nehemiah, Nehemiah was called of God. God put a passion in his heart and went back to Jerusalem. And he rebuilt. But who rebuilt with him? When you read Nehemiah, there are different families. I'll take care of this part of the wall. I'll repair this gate. And they all set to work. They took a responsibility. And Jesus says, I am building my church. What responsibility are you taking with Jesus in building his church? Because sometimes we see this call and we think the big call and fear. But God could be calling to build the churches, be a liberty keeper, greet people coming in, take care of the kitchen, take care of the house, take care of the prayer ground, take care of the outreach. What is God calling you to build his church with? And we are co-workers with Jesus Christ in the harvest field. Amen. And it's great and it's absolutely a tremendous privilege to work with Jesus Christ in building his church, his kingdom. Because his kingdom, what he's about, is taking lives that are broken, taking people that are lost and bringing them into the love of God. Amen. Now you have a choice today, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus says, behold, I knock on the door of your heart. If you open, there's always an act of faith required. Faith calls you to take a step. And I would say to you, whoever calls this place to home, take the step of faith. Come forward and say, Lord, I want to build with you here in Bray. I want to build your church. I want to be part of what you're doing here, Lord. I want to take a responsibility given by you through your Holy Spirit for me to do, Lord. Amen. So I do encourage us to come forward. Don't let fear, don't let that, who am I? I tell you who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a son and daughter of God. I don't have strength in Christ. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I'm fearful. God delivers us from our fears. I don't have education. The apostles didn't have an education. They're not the standard that Christ sets for us. Christ sets a standard. Believe in me. Trust in me. Believe that through me, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. So I ask you, don't allow this opportunity to pass you by. Amen? Come forward and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me, Lord. Amen. Amen.